Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hey, Anita, welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Laura, thank you so much for having me. I'm just thrilled to be here.
I'm so excited to chat with you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Sydney, Australia, and my parents were both Holocaust survivors, which led me, after writing about 17 books of commercial women's fiction under my my married name, which is Anita Hughes, to want to really write my mother's story. And so I took my maiden name, Anita Abriel, and wrote The Light After the War, which became an international bestseller and was really, really dear to my heart because it's my mother's, who's not alive, story of her survival, escape from World War II and survival afterwards. And then after that, I just really got hooked by the historical bug. Mm-hmm. So I wrote Lana's War, which was set on the French Riviera during World War II and had some really fascinating facts that I didn't know. And then my latest is The Girl After the War, which is set in Rome and Florence and Tuscany during World War II.
So you have explored different parts of the war in different areas. So I read actually some of your commercial fiction, actually. I did read quite a few of your books. I'm like, oh, putting two together. Let's chat about A Girl During the War. What is the elevator pitch?
The premise is that Marina Tosi, she lives in Rome with her father. Her mother died years ago, and he owns an art gallery, and she works there too. She loves art, especially Renaissance art, and she hopes to take over the gallery one day. And she's also studying art at university. And she comes home from the market, and her father has been shot and killed for harboring a Jewish artist. And she didn't know that he was doing that. You know, he was operating one of the safe houses that were in Rome at the time. And so, afraid for her safety there, she goes and stays with a family friend who was a real life person, Bernard Berenson, a very, very famous, the most famous art collector of his day, in his villa, Villa Aitati, which is now owned by Harvard, outside of Florence.
So what was your research process? So like, how do you identify this specific part of the war? Because I feel like Italy is something unexplored in historical fiction, and then like, looking at the art world, you know.
Yeah, it's very much one of those rabbit holes. I like, one answer could be I have no idea. And the other answer is I don't know what I was looking at, but I discovered that only one bridge in Florence survived World War II. There were five bridges, and one of them, the Ponte Vecchio, is the only one survived. And I've been to Florence many, many years ago, and you know, remember the bridges very well. And the reason for that was that the German consul at the time, a guy named Gerard Wolf, even though he was the German consul, he was not a supporter of the Nazis, and he forbade when the Allies were winning, the Nazis started blowing up all the bridges and everything in order to slow the Allies down from coming in and taking back the city. And so he ordered that the Ponte Vecchio keep standing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And from there, I went to, you know, that he had was friends with Bernard Berenson and you know, another character, Ludwig, who runs an art institute. So they were Germans there who were not fans of Hitler and the Nazis, but were there because they loved Renaissance art, because they loved art.
I love this. Yeah, I think it's fascinating to look at history, like that snapshot of history, and try to identify, like, you know, like cultural, also the war and like the expectations and what happens. And so then seeing it, you know, creating this world where the reader can learn something from it.
Well, I mean, I kept learning. What's crazy too, another character who plays a huge part in the book is Bernard Berenson's, you know, part. He was married, but he was with this other woman for 20 or 30 years, Belle de la Costa Green, who was J.P. Morgan's personal librarian, which, you know, that book came out last year, The Personal Librarian, you know, after I had written all this. And so all of a sudden, you know, people knew who Belle de la Costa Green was. I never knew, never heard of her before. And here she hops over from J.P. Morgan over to World War II.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Connecting the dots, you know.
a very big snake game of snakes and ladders.
So are you looking at to do more World War II fiction? If so, what kind of, like, what kind of slice of the war are you looking at?
My next book that comes out next year will actually be historical fiction, but in another, a little bit of a different era. Because the war, you know, eventually it's very, you know, you can't write a really happy book about the war. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, for now, I've kind of said all I want to say about it, and I will probably return to it because there's a million stories. But yeah, you'll see next year. We'll be back next year.
We'll be back next year. But yay. Oh my gosh. I think, yeah, that is true. Like, it's really hard to write something happier when there's like a place where we're in a place of high stress and high demand of our attention. And like, we're not sure, like, your basic needs are not being met. You know,
I mean, a lot of what all of these three books to me were about was young women's resilience during that time. And how they did all fall in love. My mother fell in love, Lana fell in love, and Marina fell, you know, greatly in love in this book. And they often didn't work out because too many obstacles. So life continued in every way. But so there are many, many stories, but there's many, many stories about every decade.
Yes, there is. So what are you currently reading?
Oh my gosh. I you know, I'm a huge reader. I just finished The Ark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, gosh, you'll have to tell me who wrote it, because
I'll put it in the show notes, so don't worry about it.
Which was really fantastic. Yeah, really, really well done. I was really impressed. I read two or three books a week. I just started The Maid, which looks like it's going to be everything that it's supposed to be. Really well done to start. So yeah, I'm a huge reader.
I love this. And do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Well, I mean, those two, definitely. And I also read The Ballerinas, which was tremendous. And there's a lot of really great stuff out there.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. There is. So tell us where you can find me online.
AnitaAbriel.com is my website for the historical fiction. And Anita Hughes Books is my website for the contemporary fiction. And then I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
I love this. Well, thank you, Anita, for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast.
For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit retroreadnextblog.com. The Retro Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.